Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for inviting me here. It's a great honor to speak before such an enthusiastic group of Vaishnavas. And before we begin to speak from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, we'll create auspiciousness by reciting Mangalacharana. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Yenitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Pradamayam Tadati Svapadamitam Vande Nam Shri Guru Shri Mata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Hayana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Hare Krishna Nagarana Sodo Jinabhando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namo Sute Tapta Kanchana Gauraki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishya Bhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rukhrishya Prakasa Sindhu Vayenacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vadadara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tonight we are speaking from Bhagavad Gita, and the text is text number 26 of the 13th chapter, but it's very difficult to take that verse alone, so we may revisit chapter 13, text number 24, and also 25 and 26. They all go together. So first of all, the topic of text 24 is Ya evam veti purusham prakritim chagunai saha sarvatha vartamanopi nasabhuyodhijayase. Krishna says, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. What three things do we have to know? We have to know Prakriti, we have to know Purusha, and we have to know Guna, the interactions that they have with the Gunas. Now, different acharyas commenting on this verse, they have explained the word Purusham in different ways. It would seem from Srila Prabhupada's translation that he refers to Purusham as the Jivatma, the minute living being. Others refer to the Purusha as the Supreme Purusha, because Purusha is, the Lord is also Purusha. He's Adi Purusha, and we are Anu Purusha. So that's one thing, but it's important to note here that we have to understand not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we have to understand ourselves, and we have to understand the material nature as well. This knowledge is actually called, in technical terms, sambandhagyan, knowledge of relationships. That means the knowledge of our own relationship with vis-a-vis the Supreme Lord, knowledge of our relationships with each other, and knowledge of our relationships with both the Lord and each and the living entities and the material nature. We have to know these things. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for us to advance towards liberation, because we will commit mistakes. we will commit offenses or we will commit sinful activities. And those things obstruct our adhikar, our capacity or prerogative for understanding anything higher about spiritual life. Why would we want to move towards liberation in this way? Why should anyone be concerned about liberation? Who has an answer? Why is liberation important to us? Because Krishna says later on in Bhagavad Gita, liberation is actually the substrate of bhakti. It's the foundation. You cannot perform real bhakti until you're liberated. And you cannot be liberated, Krishna says here, until you understand these three things. You have to understand yourself, you have to understand the Lord, and you have to understand basically his interactions, all of our interactions with the spiritual and the material energy, prakriti, and particularly the gunas are mentioned here. So Srila Prabhupada says this, clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. So much in one sentence. Isn't it? Now, let's note here that in this sentence, Srila Prabhupada seems to indicate that Purusha means what? Actually, he says both. In this way, Srila Prabhupada's purports, they also reflect the commentaries of predecessor acharyas. That's why I told you that different acharyas are saying different things, and we can see here, in the first sentence of his purport, Srila Prabhupada is representing them faithfully. That is the function of a Vaishnava, as we were singing before. Now, he continues here. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. So knowledge is important, as we're going to find out in coming verses. We have to have this sambandh gyan, as we've defined it. Then, he says, it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. Is that what we're here for?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we want, I think. At least we hope. Now, in text 25, he goes on. Krishna continues. Dhyanena atmani pasyanti kechid atmanam atmana anye sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare. Some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation. Others through the cultivation of knowledge. And still others through working without fruitive desires. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. He said, Krishna has introduced a topic that we need to assimilate. What is the topic that we need to assimilate? Or rather, the triad of topics that we need to assimilate? We've gone through it a few times. Purusha, Prakriti, and Gunas. The three modes. We need to know these things. Whether we take Purusha as meaning ourselves or as God, we still need to know them all. This is the point. And now he's giving us the means by which different people do this. Some people understand the super soul by meditation, others cultivate knowledge, and others work without fruitive desires. So what does that mean? The word here, dhyanena, indicates that the Ashtanga yogis are meditating on Paramatma, because we've already determined that Purusha here means also Paramatma. So the yogis are meditating Atmanam Atmana by their own endeavor. Atmanam Atmana. Atmanam means they understand this self, or they understand the spiritual entity. Atmana, by themselves. You cannot have someone else practice your spiritual life for you. It's not that you pay a Brahmin like the rich people. Some pious people, there are not very many of them left, it would seem, nowadays in India. But very wealthy people, sometimes they have a temple in their house, and they hire some Brahmin, he'll come and do the puja. You see, that's fine for the Brahmin. But it doesn't actually help the Yajaman. I mean, to get some benefit, but it's minimal. The point is that if you want to cultivate bhakti, nobody else can do it for you. And according to other interpretations of the commentary, no other process will do this for you. You have to do bhakti and not something else. That's the point. So here Krishna is talking about the yogis, for one thing, and then there are others, anye. Anye means, refers to the gyanis or the karmis. This microphone is just like me. I have a chronic upper respiratory problem through which I have to clear my throat every few seconds. That's what the microphone is doing, same thing. Maybe he's been in Vrindavan too long. Okay. Hare Krishna. Radhe Radhe. All right, so we're looking at different ways in which people try to understand this sambandha gyan, as we've already defined it. So, Sankhyena yogena karma yogena chapare. Other people, this is something that Krishna has said several times in Bhagavad Gita. If anyone is paying attention to Bhagavad Gita and has read it carefully, then you know. Krishna says several times in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, some people do this by Sankhya, other people do this by karma. Some people are action people and some people are head people, in other words. This is the idea. So this is what he's talking about here. The gyanis cultivate knowledge of spiritual existence, and they try to identify as spirit souls. Having understood the nature of spirit, then they try to identify as spirit. The problem with the jnana path is that jnana, one professor, I was once in library science, and one professor taught us that there's no such thing as applied theory, right? Because as soon as you apply theory, it's not a theory anymore. So this is gyan. Gyan means hypothetical knowledge. How long can you exist in a hypothetical stasis? You can't. Eventually you've got to do something. At least you've got to go to the bathroom eventually. Or you've got to eat something or you fall asleep. But generally your mind will impel you to go somewhere else as well. So gyan has this shortcoming. Now, the other option is what? Look at the board, folks. Oh, we don't have it. But Sankhyena yogena karma yogena cha apare. Some people do it through Sankhya yoga. Other people do it through karma yoga. What does karma yoga mean? Karma yoga means that you try to purify yourself by giving up the fruits of the action that you perform. In the initial stages of karma yoga, you're just trying to act in terms of shastra vidhis. And you're trying to avoid, you know, what we call shastra nishedhas, the prohibitions, the do's and don'ts, you might say, of the shastra. In logic, nyaya, this is called vyapti. And it's a particular kind of vyapti that's called anvaya vyatireki. And that means that you cover all your bases. Positive bases are covered, negative bases are covered. Therefore, when you find in Shastra that there's a vidhi, there's always a nishedha as well. Just like when we take initiation into Krishna consciousness, the vidhi is that you chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the nishedha is, you do not eat meat, you do not have illicit sex, you do not have intoxication, you do not do gambling, right? These are the nishedhas, so vidhi nishedha. Now, all these vidhis and nishedhas, they're actually meant to bring us to some point, which is to remember Krishna always, and to not forget Krishna always. Another anvaya vyatireki vyapti, you see? So it's very consistent throughout the Vedic literatures, but you have to be educated to see this. So this is why reading these books is so important, and that's actually the topic of today's class. But you don't know that yet, because we haven't got that far. Just keep listening, Krishna will get there. Now, Sankhya Yogena Karma Yogena Cha Avare. Some people like to do it. So the karmic process is that in the initial stage, you're just following these shastras. If it gives a nisheda, you don't do it. If it gives a vidhi, you have to do that thing. You see? Now, every one of us, believe it or not, has a whole set of obligations that the shastra has given to us, and usually we're not even aware of that. This is called niyatan karma, things that you have to do every single day, regularly. It's not kamya karma. Kamya karma means you have an option to do it or not, if you just like marriage. It's a kamya karma. If you want to get married, you get married. If you're a brahmachari and do not need to get married, then you don't need to get married. Not necessary. You see? But you have to do your niyatam karma, which means even if you're a brahmachari, there are certain duties you have to obey. Even if you're a grahastha, there are certain duties you have to obey. Even if you're a vanaprastha, ityadi. Sannyas as well. So, generally in these three renounced ashrams or renouncing ashrams, it's pretty simple. The injunctions are not that complicated. When we come to the household ashram, it explodes with volume. The biggest, the single most, comprehensive body of literature in the Sanskrit language is Dharmashastra. Why? Because Dharmashastra attempts to take the abstract principles that are taught, philosophical truths and principles that are taught within the shastras, and translate them into ground-level, concrete, day-to-day reality that we all have to live. And it does so in different times, in different places, in different circumstances, and it gets very, very complicated for that reason. As soon as you explicate, as soon as you want to specify exactly what needs to be done, just like when you buy your computer, it comes with a user's manual 2 feet thick, right? And nobody actually reads that thing. But they don't want to make sure, and their lawyers also want to make sure that every base is covered. And so this is called anvayavyatireki vyapti, again. So that's why the Dharma Shastras are so complex. So the household ashram is complicated. And because it's complicated, we're busy. And because we're busy, it's difficult for us to follow any of these practices that Krishna has mentioned so far, is it not? How many people are scrupulously following the karmakanda vidhis? Not very many. I won't embarrass anyone. How many of us are practicing jnana yoga and consider yourself a sankhyayi? Raise your hand. I don't think, no, nobody's going to raise their hand. How many people are expert in ashtanga yoga? I mean, this is not like dance studio yoga. This is real ashtanga yoga, as Krishna describes it in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, we don't do that either. So this is the problem. Now, Prabhupada has written a wonderful, wonderful purport to this verse, but in the interest of getting on to the real text of the day, which is number 26, I'm going to have to skip that. But one thing that we can note in Prabhupada's purport, he says a few very telling things, but you have to read between the lines, and you have to know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness a little bit, and then you'll say it. First of all, he says, those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics who are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. So if we're too skeptical, if we're atheist, or if we're agnostic, then it's very, very difficult for us to get any clue or any sense, as Prabhupada says here, of spiritual understanding. In the Patanjali school of Ashtanga Yoga, they actually have a name for this faculty of perception. They call it the Dharmendriya. Dharmendriya means your faculty of perceiving dharma. And that's actually a very smart idea, because dharma is such a subtle thing, it is actually very difficult to perceive. And because it's so subtle, many people don't know. I like to say this point everywhere I go. In the English language, we don't have a word that subsumes all the nuances of meaning that are attached to this word dharma. What does dharma mean? Raise your hands. What does dharma mean? Okay, you're
faith.
What else?
Duty.
Occupation, duty. What else?
Religion.
Religion. What else?
Laws of God.
Laws of God, what else?
Principles.
Principles. This sounds like a million things.
Loving devotion service.
Loving service, okay. They're all correct, and yet they're all dharma. Mm. And we don't have one word that subsumes all this meaning. How about one that nobody said? The one that's usually overlooked. Intrinsic principle or intrinsic property of a thing. Lakshana, right? Sorup. The essential nature of a given thing. What is the dharma of water? It's liquid. What is the dharma of sugar? What is the dharma of the jiva? Yeah, to love, to serve. You see? So dharma means, this is a very, very important thing, and we don't have time to, that's another class, actually. it's such a big topic, but the point is that karma yogis will try to go through this process of, first of all, developing a sense of dharma through following strictly the injunctions of the shastra. What is the result of that practice? They get adhikar for what?
Knowledge.
For knowledge. By practicing your karma mimamsa philosophy or your purva mimamsa philosophies very strictly, you get adhikar for developing jnana. And the adhikar of for what does the what is jnana is useful for what purpose? Huh? What is the adhikar for bhakti? I should say. You already said it. You have to be liberated. You have to be liberated. See. So this is a very, very important thing. And Prabhupada is saying here that these atheists, they're beyond any sense of it. But others who are faithful, they may be, they may have a karmic tendency, they may be a thinker tendency, or they may be, I guess introspective means the yogis, but they're innocent in the realm of bhakti, and they're faithful, they believe in God. Now, listen to the next sentence. Others, who always try to establish the doctrine of monism, are counted among the atheists. Those who are always trying to push monism. What's your tendency? Think about it. Do we have a tendency for monism? Sometimes we do. Usually spiritual life in the modern day and age, it tends to be monistic and vague and impersonal and not devotional, basically. You see? So a person who's attached to this thing, it's a pretty strong sentence here. Prabhupada says he's actually considered to be as good as an atheist. Now, then I'm going to skip ahead here. He says furthermore that those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. Attitude. Why does he use the word attitude? They're perfect in their attitude because it is an attitude problem. Whether we're too attached to gyan or whether we're too attached to yoga or whether we're too attached to karma, either way, it's an attitude problem. Therefore, this world is the world of attitude adjustment. This is the euphemism they have for it, the American penal system. When a prisoner is really nonsense, then they take him into attitude adjustment. And I'll leave it to your imagination how they adjust the attitude there. But everybody knows what prison is like everywhere. It's a pretty universal thing. We might even say it's the dharma of prisons. But anyway, so they're given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So this is these three processes that are mentioned here, karma, yoga, and jnana. These are the ways by which some people actually come to realize sambandha jnana and thereby become liberated, through which they can ultimately come to bhakti. Now what about the rest of us? Because we've already determined that we're not yogis, we're not even big pious karmis. We're sinful, actually, in this age of Kali Yuga. That's a serious thing to consider. How are we going to develop this sambandha jnana through which we become liberated enough to sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service, properly understood? It's not easy. It's very difficult. So Krishna therefore says in text 26, Anye tveva majanantaha śrutvānyebhya upāsate tevi chāti tarantyeva mṛtyum śruti parāyāha That means, again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Now, listen to what Srila Prabhupada has written here, because this verse is very, very, it has vital relevance in our lives. Whether we're ISKCON devotees, or whether we're karmis, or gyanis, or yogis, it really, I mean to say, whether we think we're karmis, or gyanis, or yogis, or even if we think we're devotees, this verse is describing us. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, "This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there's practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there's no knowledge of philosophy." It would seem as if what Prabhupada is saying here is that somebody may feel that I'm a philosopher or I'm an atheist, or, but I mean, we're not even on that platform where we can make such a distinction, because we're actually just rascals chasing after money, isn't it? The things that Prabhupada said about NRIs, I cannot repeat. I think you follow the drift. Enough said. Now, as for the common man, this is what we're talking about now. If he is a good soul, again, this indicates an attitude, doesn't it? If he's a good soul, if he's not a rascal, a cheating person. If he's a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by?
Hearing.
Very good. This is the point. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization and follow in his footsteps, as per the bhajans we were singing, no? Then one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, so-called, very important little adjective Prabhupada stuck in there, deliberately. He said, every single word of these books I've chosen very carefully. One time he said that. On another time he said, he didn't choose them at all. Krishna chose them. Who else can write like this, if you think about it? I mean, somebody has to be empowered in order to so clearly. I myself read Bhagavad Gita half a dozen editions before I came to ISKCON, and I could not understand any one of them. And looking back now, I can understand why. The reason is that the persons who published those editions also did not understand them. So, although the common man is not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence. Does that sound like liberation? Yes. And go back to Godhead, back to home. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a very, very instructive verse. It says, Doshinit Herajan Aski He Kol Mahatguna. I forgot the beginning line. Kaler Doshinit Herajan Aski He Kol Mahatguna. Kirtan Areva Krishnasya Kya Hoga? Mukta Bandha or Mukta Sangha are Paramrajet. Very good. So Mukta Bandha means you get liberated, and the process of liberation is affected through the perfection of this Sambandha Gyan that we're hearing about. Therefore, we have to hear about it. We have to hear about it. And the hearing itself is Punya Shravana Kirtana. The hearing itself purifies us. And the hearing itself is an initial aspect of devotion, bhakti. Even though actual bhakti begins on the liberated platform, by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master such as Srila Prabhupada, then we can gain entrance or access into the world of bhakti, through his divine grace. You see, it's proxy bhakti, probate bhakti. Even though we're all criminals, as we've indicated, and even though we don't have the adhikar to really enter these things, are very, very high things. But when we have grace, and when we have a sponsor for our soul, in the form of an authoritative person who is transparent, what does transparent mean? He's not adding anything, and he's not subtracting anything. He's just faithfully delivering the message as it was paramparagat, as it's received in disciplic succession. This is the process that Krishna himself says, isn't it? Back in chapter 4, do we remember this? Evam parampara praptam, imam raja rishayo viduhu ityadi. The saintly kings understand it in this way. But we can also understand according to this verse. We're not saintly and we're not kings. But we can hear, and if we endeavor to hear like this from the proper person, this is always the qualification given here. Shishta, what is the word? Apta, does anybody know? These are philosophical and karmic terms. Means that reliable authorities, not just any, Tom, Dick, or Harry, as they say, but from a reliable person. Apta. Shishta, somebody who is, parampara. This is the point. Transparent via media, therefore Srila Prabhupada uses this. It's one of the shibboleths that Prabhupada repeats throughout his books. Transparent via media. He's just delivering the message as he's received it. He's not taking a cut from this. And he's not changing it to suit his needs, you see? Nor our needs. Because sometimes they do that. One scholar, A.L. Basham, he was University of Canberra, and in the last generation, he was a great Indologist. He used to call them streamlined swamis. Streamlined swamis. Because, they tone it down, and they somehow try to, they make it palatable and, relevant maybe for the modern man and in order to fit into their busy life. It actually doesn't work like that. You've actually got to fit into Krishna's program. That's called Krishnanushilanam, in the words of Rupa Goswami. Anyway, so this is the idea here, that we can become liberated by hearing. And he's quoting Bhagavatam here, he didn't actually said it, but those who have read the Shastra and who know, are familiar, acquainted with the ocean of Shastra, when they read any given line in any given book written by Srila Prabhupada, they can trace out the reference that Prabhupada is paraphrasing, because he's always paraphrasing a Shastric reference or an Acharya's reference. And just like I pointed out for you with regards to the first sentence, the interpretation of the word Purusha is implicit in Srila Prabhupada's sentence. He didn't have to choose two words in that sentence. He could have gone with only one, but he wanted to represent both interpretations of his predecessors. And similarly here, what is that famous verse? Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvang manobhihi. in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is saying this? Brahma. That if a person stays in his own position and simply hears about Krishna, that is enough. And that is being indicated here in today's verse. Anye tvaivam ajanantaha, although they don't know this. Shrutvan yebhya upasate, they have heard from others. Others meaning the reliable persons that we've discussed, the acharyas. The persons who, whose words and whose actions and whose realizations are all one thing. Most of us in this world, what we say is one thing, what we do is another thing, and what we want is a third thing. You see, that's called disharmony. Anybody know this poet, Jai Shankar Prasad? Chayavadi poet. So he wrote a book, famous book called, in Hindi, called Kamayani. In that book, he said this, actually, a person who's actually solidly situated and balanced as a human being, well-adjusted person. What he thinks, what he wants, that is to say, what he says, and what he does, they're all on the same wavelength, you see. So when we give that tendency to Krishna, and when we focus on Krishna in that way, then that is called being transparent via media. Then whatever we say, it's bona fide. Srila Prabhupada instructed one disciple, we were discussing this earlier. He was asking Srila Prabhupada, how can I preach effectively to others? And Prabhupada told him, simple, you just learn Bhagavad Gita by heart and speak nothing else. It's actually possible to do that. We don't know this because we haven't learned Bhagavad Gita yet. If you have learned Bhagavad Gita, you see. You see. And similarly, if you're at least, you know, along the way of learning these things, then you can see. Whatever Srila Prabhupada says, you can trace out the Shastric source. So I was quoting this verse, Mukta Vandha Param Vrajet. This is actually what's going on here. When we have this Sambandha Gyan, as we've defined it, knowledge of the living entity, of the Supreme Lord, of the material nature, of the interactions of the modes, and how they all work with each other, actually it's even larger than that. That is called Sambandha Gyan. That Sambandha Gyan, if you are spiritually progressive, when you have that Sambandha Gyan, you will advance to the point of liberation. In that liberated platform, when you then perform devotional service, it's real devotional service. You see? And we can get there just by hearing. Why? Because it's understood that through hearing and practicing the process of bhakti yoga in general, we will go through all of these stages. We will first of all become pious. That's called kleshada shubha. What is that? Kleshagna shubhada bhakti. Rupa Goswami says he outlines six excellences of bhakti. In the sadhana stage, there are two of them. In the bhava stage, there are two more of them. In the prema stage, there are two more of them. So in the sadhana stage, we experience immediately klesha gna. Bhakti destroys our miseries. Why? Because it destroys papa. You know, I think the word was used here, in fact. Maybe it was in the commentary, I don't remember. But it destroys sinful activity. When your sins are destroyed, then you become light. You become happy. You see? There's nothing weighing you down. And Shubhada means you become auspicious. It's just as Krishna has explained in chapter 7. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karnamanam te kya vanvamoha nirmukta. They are free from the duality, from the illusions born of dualistic existence, and especially sinful existence. And they're fixed in piety. This is natural for bhakti. Bhakti will do this to you automatically. Just by hearing, because it's assumed that, you know, Prabhupada said, hearing means acting. You hear something and you follow it. Just like if I say, please bring me a glass of water, and you're very scrupulously taking notes and recording it even, and just focused on the instruction, and you're so focused on the instruction that that's all you do. That's not really hearing. It's not really hearing. Right?
Right.
It's true. A practical example. So hearing means acting. Therefore we say, just by hearing, you will pass through these stages. You will become pious. That is the effects of karma. And through piety, you will get realizations. That's the effect of jnana. From the combination of piety and realization, you will be able to meditate, and that is called yoga. And then ultimately you come to the stage of entering into real bhakti once you are liberated thereby. So this is called mukta bandha. You become freed from all the dross, all the extraneous garbage, anarthas. And param vrajet, what does that mean? That means you actually dive into this ocean that Rupa Goswami calls the bhakti rasamrita sindhu. You become like one of the fish in the ocean, deep water fish. And it's bliss. It's an ocean of anandam buddhi vartanam, ocean of ever expanding bliss. On that platform, this is the nature of bhakti. So we can, simply by hearing this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, as we've heard tonight from a bona fide spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and simply by following this process in all humility with a clean heart, that means not cheating motives, as Prabhupada said, not always trying to make it, turn it into something monistic or something karmi or something else. Just follow with a clean heart, and you will be automatically, just by your tendency to faithfully hear from an authority. But you have to hear from the right person. This is the point. You cannot hear from a politician. You cannot even hear from a scholar. And certainly not from a businessman. You have to hear from the devotee. You see? Because many of the people, many of the editions, even most of the editions, I should dare to say, they're actually published by businessmen, politicians. You know, maybe he's a yogi even, or a jnani, or an academic, mundane academic. You see? But where is the edition that is actually given by a transparent devotee? That is this edition, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. How many devotees joined from, you know, X or Y edition of Bhagavad Gita? But this edition has produced hundreds and thousands of devotees worldwide. So do the math, as they say. It's not rocket science. Okay, so I think the message is clear just by hearing, but we have to actually hear. We have to actually hear. Therefore, there's one verse that Srila Prabhupada spoke from more than any other verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know what verse that is? Chapter 7, text 1. Yatha jñāsasi tatrinam. As much, Arjuna, as much as you want to understand this thing, just listen. This is the beginning. Now, what happens when we listen? I mean, I don't know how long I'm supposed to go on. It's 8 o'clock now. So, I'll make one more point. And that is that in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text 25, Kapila Dev is instructing his mata, Devahuti. And he says, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti krit karana rasayana katha. That means, in the association of advanced devotees, powerful devotees, these kathas, they become very, they become very potent. And they become, by repeatedly hearing in this way, they become very dear to the heart as well as to the ear. To the ear, because Srimad Bhagavatam, in case you didn't notice, it is wonderful, wonderful poetry in Sanskrit. If you compare Srimad Bhagavatam to, say, Vishnu Purana or Bhagavad Gita or any other, the caliber of the poetry in the Srimad Bhagavatam is far and away above everything else. So it's very sweet to hear Srimad Bhagavatam verses. And Bhavanti Hrit Karana Rasayana Katha. It is like a medicine also for the heart, because when we hear this thing, we recognize that there's truth here. This can help me. And we are immediately relieved from so many anarthas just by hearing. You see? Tat joshanat ashuapavargavarjmani, he says, by the enthusiasm thus generated by this process of hearing and good association, We are very quickly established on what path? Ashu Abhavarga Vartmani, the path of liberation, Abhavarga path. And what happens then? We progress from some initial faith that we invest in the process of hearing, because when we come to hear, the only thing we have at that point is what? A little faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't come. So when you invest your faith, and then it builds. It's a snowball effect. It's, you know, builds upon itself. And then we progress through the different stages of bhakti that he's described. We associate with sadhus. We become engaged in devotional service. We become freed from all of the anarthas. We become fixed. We get some real taste. We get actually attached. And then we develop bhava. And I discuss, bhava has its own excellences. And that bhava matures in prema bhakti. And then all six excellences of bhakti are manifest at that point. I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss them. Is it clear what we need to do? What do we need to do?
Hear.
Okay. And why do we need to hear? What will happen when we hear? What are the three things that have to happen for us to become liberated? We have to understand ourselves, God, the world, basically. Right? And we want liberation because on the liberated stage we can actually perform real bhakti, spiritual bhakti. Before that it's called prakrita bhakti, mundane bhakti. And you still get credit for that, but it's probate, as I said. Okay, someone had a question here.
Mm-hmm. It sounds contradictory, because you just said to hear is to do, right? So how could you keep a position? What do you mean?
Right, yeah, that's a good question. Sthane sthita means to be situated in your varna and ashram, in your niyatam karma, in other words. You cannot remain situated in sinful life. That is the default in the modern day and age, actually, if you think about it. You know, normally it's expected that a person will be at least situated in his varna and ashram, but nowadays people are not even doing that. So we're in the red spiritually, and we've got to come up at least to a level of pious existence before we could actually start making any positive progress. But the most powerful means of doing that is given to us in the form of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A Shruti Mantra says, anybody know the quote I'm thinking? Kali Santarana Upanishad. What is it? Iti shorashakam nam nam kali kalmasan nashanam nata parataropayu sarva vedeshu drishte. If you look throughout all the Vedas, you're not going to find a more efficacious means of eradicating all the filth of this age. Only through chanting. So yeah, we have to chant and we have to hear, and that will bring us first to the stage of humanity. Then as human, because a human being is not defined biologically in Shastra, correct? How do we define humanity according to Shastra? Via negativa. Dharmasya hina pashupis samana. Hitopadesh tells us this. Ahananitra bhayamaitanam cha. The animals are running around on their four legs looking after something to eat, somebody to fight with, someone to mate with, you know, somewhere to sleep. We're running around looking for the same four things on four wheels. And sometimes they do it within their four wheels also. So, you know, this is animal life, actually. Human life means that you actually, you have dharma. Therefore, it is so necessary to understand dharma, as I mentioned in the beginning. We have to get the concept clear, especially in the Western countries. It's very important for people to learn this. And all of you, I can guarantee, from India, you have some concept of dharma, which puts you at an advantage. You have to share what you know. And this is what you know. Because other people have no concept of dharma. It's kind of like when you go to the Far East in China. You know, you've got to tell those people about God, and they don't even have a word for God because they don't have the concept that would require that word. And it's exactly the same with dharma here. It takes sometimes a person takes 10, 20 years just to become a human being. Even he's chanting Hare Krishna. You see? That's how sick it is. And because of Kali Yuga. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave 80% of his instructions on the topic of Varnashram Dharma in the last 3 years that he was with us. Because he saw from his own experience these people are having trouble. And this is why. You know, I mean, that's not even considering the socioeconomic or the economic and, biological factors that are also vitally important nowadays. Because everybody knows, I mean, Alan Greenspan knows how fragile the economy is. Nalini dalagata jalamati taralam tadvad jivena patashaya chapalam Shankaracharya ne kaha. The key is, it's like you have a drop of water on a lotus leaf, zip, gone, any minute. And biologically even, the human beings are changing the entire environment, including the human species. Now what's going to happen when the clones grow up? What kind of world are they going to create? Think about it. The day will come when we look, when people scoff at the idea of such a fabulous creature as an amphibian, in the same way that we hear that mountains used to fly in the Vedic literatures, and can't believe it. Why? Because we've created such an inauspicious world that, it's obscured the reality. Anyway, as I said, this is the topic of another lecture, but does that answer your question? Okay, anybody else have a question? Or comment? How many people here are chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day? Raise your hand. Some people are not chanting. So please, we humbly request, try to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day. I'm not going to tell you to sit down with the mala and chant 16 rounds. You don't have to do that, but try to chant this mantra every day, sincerely, bhavse, and see what happens. Krishna, because when we, just like this, one, do you have Kmart here in Folsom, California? So one time in Texas, or have they gone out of business also? Sold out to whatever, anyway. There's so many mergers now, you don't know who's in charge. Sometimes they like to keep it ambiguous also. AirTran and Southwest Airlines, I took a flight from Atlanta and I missed it because of AirTran's policy. And then when I went to find out what happened, the AirTran persons pointed at Southwest, and when I went to the Southwest counter, they told me, no, it's AirTran. they play each other off the client. But anyway, one time I was in Kmart, and because it was Kmart, I could not find someone to help me. But I finally found a staff person with a name tag there. So I noted carefully what was the name, and I called the person's name. Instantly, I had her attention, instantly. So if that's true even in this world, you call Krishna's name, Krishna, help! How can he not? You see? Anybody know the bhajan? Hey Govinda, hey Gopal? What is it about? Gajendra Moksha, right? So he said, Dwaraka me shabda bhayo. What is it? Anyway, I don't remember now, but the sound of his calling out the name of Krishna reached Dwarka somehow. He immediately took Garuda and he came to help with his Shankha Chakra. And he delivered Gajendra, you see? So we should chant so sincerely that Krishna can hear us all the way in Vrindavan. So that's every day, please chant Hare Krishna, and you will see that if you take one step towards Krishna, he will take 10 steps towards you. Please make this commitment, we humbly ask. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful lecture. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter is the hardest chapter, and Srila Prabhupada's purport make it somewhat easy, but Prabhu made it even more easy. You know, saying that what are the three things we need to know, what does that take us to as the basis, and what are the next steps? Thank you.